This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Well, I say we have the best economy in the world. We got to make it better. We really do have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up more than they've ever been. We're in a situation where the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years was maintained. We have people who just, but people, look, I think we're going to find out that what happened is a consequence of the crisis we had in health is have a lasting effect.
So that is Joe Biden again saying that he's got the best economy in the world. And, you know, he looks at the numbers, unemployment numbers, the GDP numbers, and he says, okay, we're back on track. That is not what a lot of people feel. And after spending a summer spending $40 million just selling Bidenomics, it didn't work. So they switched gears, but he keeps going back to it. Charles Payne with us now. He is the host of Making Money with Charles Payne, weekdays at 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time, and author of Unbreakable Investor. And that's out now. And by the way, all our listeners can get a free copy by going to 50505. So, Charles, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
So I watched David Axelrod on his podcast, and he says he drives him, and you know he is the architect of Obama's two election wins and Deval Patrick's win in Massachusetts.
Right.
And he said it drives him crazy, if I could use my words, every time Joe Biden keeps talking about the economy, because it makes him look out of touch with the people. Who do you agree with? Biden, the economy's great, or Axelrod, you're not seeing it?
I agree with Biden that we have the economy that's the envy of the world, the developed world. And I agree with Axelrod that he's insulting the hell out of Americans by telling them that they feel better than they feel.
How could both be true?
Because and this is what the election is all about, Brian. This is why people must pay attention right now. It's ironic that President Biden would brag about America's economy and capitalism and at the same time run on a campaign to destroy it. That's what people need to pay attention to because, yeah, we do have the envy. We don't want to be Europe. We don't want to be Germany. You know, I'm scheduled to do about 15 speeches this year. My central theme before the election will be Germany. All of Europe is a basket case. They're the worst. We're going down the same path, in part because of the climate change thing. This whatever that is that gets a country to commit economic suicide, we are on that path. Yes, we are living on the fumes of things that came before Biden, that came
like
before Trump.
Like getting rid of the gas car.
Getting rid of the internal combustion engine. Let the consumer decide. By the way, what we're going to do to our electric grid, what we're going to do to it, we're going to have an electricity crisis in about a year or so. Everyone's going to be dealing with brownouts and blackouts, particularly if you make everyone drive an EV. It's nuts. It's economic suicide. Here's the irony. Germany doing the same thing. Guess what country imports the most coal in Europe? Germany, they got rid of the nukes. They don't have any oil. They don't have any gas. It's so ironic. It's so nuts. So I do think it's disingenuous for President Biden to run on the notion that America has this great economy when he wants to dismantle it. You don't take corporate tax rates from 17% to 28% and get to brag about, you know, the economy. Because it's not going to be the same economy. The same opportunities aren't going to be there.
Where did Trump have the corporate
17%. We're still living under Trump's corporate taxes.
Right, and he wants to bring it back up.
Right, to 28%.
Right, so that's a problem. So what about these numbers? And Charles, you might not have this, but you know we see 303,000 jobs last week. So we see them adding, and everyone goes, that's 100,000 more. And then it turns out, if you look at the numbers, a lot of them are government jobs and a lot of them are illegal immigrants getting jobs through work visas.
Right. 71,000 government jobs. The government job data is through the roof. It's crazy. Another 70,000 in health care, which is really government funded, you know. And then 70,000, 60,000, 67,000, some odd. Leisure hospitality. The real number was private sector is a 230,000. Again, to your point, there's so many problems with this jobs report. So many problems with it. The illegal immigration part of it plays a role. But here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought it up, Brian, because for the last 3 weeks, a lot of the economists I've been talking to have been trying to ease this in here, how great migration is making it. Business Insider had an article last month how immigration saved us from a recession. Now, of course, they conflate legal and illegal. And what they're trying to do, and this is how they seed a problem. First, they send out the so-called experts all over, wherever they can get them, and they start to seed it with expert seeding. And then the politicians come in and they kind of say, hey, listen, why are we so upset with illegal immigration? It kept us out of a recession. I mean, it would be nuts for Biden to say that, but this is the kind of thing I could see a lot of his underlings, because they're already kind of suggesting that. We love immigration. We love legal migration. Right. But the notion of trying to connect illegal immigration to us not going into a recession. And by the way, you have to ask, what policies do we have that people can pour over into the border? And let's say, for instance, that key bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Yeah. So there were five people on the bridge, one from Guatemala, one from, they're all Central American.
Yeah.
From Central America. You know, the unemployment rate in Baltimore. You know how many people there aren't working, but they're being paid not to work, essentially because of the social welfare programs that we have? We need to be introspective of ourselves, what we're doing here. We're not educating people or training them to fix bridges. We're not educating them or training them to work on AI. What the hell are we doing in this country?
Right. Well, are there people on welfare that could have been fixing that bridge instead of from Guatemala? I want you to – J.D. Vance was on. I know you respect him as an Ivy Leaguer. With an Ivy League degree, who served in the military, cut seven.
But over the last 3 or 4 years, much of the job growth from the Biden administration has gone to the foreign-born. Many of those, of course, are illegal aliens. If you contrast that with the Trump economy, Maria, which was about productivity enhancements, higher wages for American workers, more manufacturing, and ultimately better, good-paying jobs for American workers. With the Biden economy, where so much of the economic growth has gone to the foreign-born, has gone to illegal immigrants, while American workers struggle to feed their families and struggle to buy homes, struggle to actually live the American dream.
So you get what he's saying, but I would say this. If the average American looking for a job, there are jobs out there. Do you agree with that?
There are jobs out there. And again, we're in this interesting point. That's why I brought up the both ends of the spectrum. On one end of the spectrum, you live in Jersey. I live in Jersey, New York. Anytime you drive by a construction site,
I'm Long Island. But
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I feel for you. But anyway.
Well, because of the traffic? And I can't live in New Jersey. They don't want me there.
No, they kicked you out. No, but so. Yeah. The point is, and all the construction sites you go by and you see a lot of immigrants, right? And they do a good job, right? Again, where are we doing the training for native-born Americans for that? But the other end of the spectrum is how many migrants are brought in legally by these big tech companies to work on STEM, right? And we're not preparing that. What are we exactly doing in this nation? And I agree with JD in the sense that we had organic growth. This economy is being fueled by federal money printing and fiscal money printing.
I thought we
stopped that. The money that's still earmarked to come into the economy. By the way, I just talked about 71,000 government jobs. Those are state and local. Where do you think the state and local got that cash from?
Stimulus money.
Right. So they didn't, the government, federal government cuts them a check in July of 2023. They didn't spend it then. They know when to start using that money. They know when to start hiring. They know the game. They know how it's played. You played into the election. There's hundreds of billions of dollars still coming in. By the way, that's why inflation won't go down.
So do you find this encouraging? Gen Z enrollment in trade jobs up 16%. Vocational programs, 23%. Construction jobs, 7%. HVAC, vehicle repair. So that's a positive.
It's a positive, but it's got to be, at this stage, it should be triple digits, up 150%, up 200%.
And not going to college?
Well, not everyone has to go to college, right? I'm just saying, though, if you're going to go to college, you should be prepared for college, right? And, this whole student loan thing, the people who really have gotten shafted are people who were seducing to go into college, really didn't have the academic skill set to do it, and end up dropping out after 2 years.
So now they're saddled with debt.
The saddle with debt and no degree. People in this country that have a degree don't deserve a nickel of the taxpayers' money because, for the most part, they're the most blessed people on the planet. They will live longer than the average person in America. They will make 2 to 3 million more. Their kids will see less violence. They will live a life that is ideal by any standard.
Charles, we're going to come back and talk about your book.
All right, great.
The Unbreakable Investor, and also it's going to be on the show today. Are you also obsessed with the eclipse?
I'm not obsessed with it, but it's you are, intriguing. I will you? Talk about this. I'm going to have fun with it on this show.
You're not against it. If you had your way, you're not coming out against the eclipse.
I will tell you this, that since 1954, the stock market has been up for every eclipse except one, total eclipse except one. So that's what I could tell you.
Back in a moment.
Honest commentary, unique opinions, no agenda. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
I wouldn't go out there and extol the miracle of the Biden economy. It just drives me crazy when he does that. I think he needs to put himself on the side of working people in their economic fight here.
That is David Axelrod just saying, I'm a little shocked that Joe Biden's not listening to me. Although, Joe Biden, you had some choice words for David Axelrod. Charles Payne is here. His book is Unbreakable Investor. Just your thoughts, Charles, just to people just tuning in right now about what Axelrod just said and the significance of a guy on his side trying to get a message to him.
Well, I think what Axelrod knows and what he sees is that, hey, two things, maybe three. A, the economy is not great for all Americans. All right. In fact, it's a struggle for the majority of Americans. And B, if you keep telling them that they're doing great, and when they're not doing great, they're going to be offended. But also, it suggests too that you won't make the moves, three, to ever make it right. In other words, if you think it's fine, why change? I mean, the first part of change is to acknowledge that you've made some mistakes. President Biden has never acknowledged a mistake that I can think of. I mean, everything was Trump's fault, that fault. My hands were tied. I couldn't do anything. But I've never heard him say, listen, I had an idea and it sucked. I just haven't seen it.
Right.
And it's ironic because we always talk about the media always talks about the ego of President Trump. But the ego of President Biden is dangerous at this point because he won't change course.
So Unbreakable Investor is now out. Build the American dream in any economic cycle. How do you build the dream in this cycle? Interest rates high, inflation higher than we remember it.
This cycle actually underscores why you have to build the dream. It's not going to be built for you. You know, you're not going to just put money in a 401k and be okay. 401k balances in the third quarter of last year were the same as they were in the third quarter, the average account, and the same as the third quarter 5 years earlier. Listen, if you don't want to do any work at all and you want to put money in there, particularly if the company's going to match, that's fine. But you can build the American dream because even in a country that has all the problems that we have, we're still a $26 trillion economy.
Right.
There's so many opportunities. And by the way, look at the stock market. It is absolutely on fire. It has nothing to do with the economy per se. It has everything to do with the future.
What are you looking at? What should people be looking at now?
In terms of the market in general?
The market and stocks.
Listen, obviously you want exposure to artificial intelligence, right?
I mean,
there's a handful of companies. I'm reluctant to say companies that guys may have. I don't want someone to buy stock 100% higher than my clients have it. I would say have a list ready, you know, and it would have this usual suspects of NVIDIA, Supermicro. Micron is a name I'm loving pounding the table on.
Is that an American company?
Yeah. Micron is such a great American company. It's out of Iowa. It's one of the Idaho. It's one of the few tech companies, chip companies in America. And guess who funded it? The same guy, J.R. Simplot. You know, this name may not be familiar to you, but he grew up as a dirt poor kid in America.
Right.
Dirt poor. There was a farmer who had a lot of land, though, not far from his house. He didn't have any kids. He was a stone cold alcoholic. So J.R. Simplot, as a little kid, goes over there. The guy gives him a gig. He loves him, falls in love with him, and kind of gives him the farm. J.R. Simplot's growing the farm. All of a sudden, he gets this big contract with a company that's supplying with potatoes. The company was McDonald's.
So
he becomes a billionaire, and someone comes along and says, listen, we've got a semiconductor company. Can you help us? Sure. So J.R. Simplot, he was the one who put all the money up for Micron.
Gotcha. Yeah. So those are some of the things you should be looking at. But when you say Unbreakable Investor, I was looking at Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett came out and says, I don't understand people that want to balance their portfolio. Because if you believe in a company, why would you want to balance out something that goes against with your company, whether it's Apple or Facebook or something like that? Do you understand that mindset?
I agree 1,000%. 1,000%. That's one of the reasons these 401k balances don't move. Because they put their money in these mutual funds.
Push pull.
And you'll have the 10 best semiconductor stocks in the 10 worst. Now, with the way it's marketed is that it mitigates risk. And it does. It can't go down too much if you have the 10 best. But it also mitigates the upside. And that's what we're in the stock market for. Now, I'm not saying go out there and you swing for the fences every time. But I have developed strategies over the years. And I'm telling you, it's you can make so much more money in the stock market by focusing on owning great companies at the right time.
And still, that's fundamentals.
Fundamentals.
Do you look around? Do you worry about our debt as it relates? And do you worry about our dollar as it relates to America?
I worry about the debt tremendously. In fact, one of the senses of urgency is that one day that you know what's going to hit the fan. And people have to be – if you think things are tough now, they're going to be tough. I think we're going to go through a period like the 1800s. And the 1800s were so amazing in this country. But by the same token, we had four Great Depressions, a Civil War, four Great Depressions. We started 1800 as a nobody. By 1890, we eclipsed Great Britain as the number one economy
in the world. While going through everything you described.
Right. And I think we're going to be – I think we're looking at something very similar.
So do you think – I understand I was talking to somebody who was with the president. All he talks about is the debt. How do we get this debt down? So do you think if we're on a schedule to pay down the debt, that would be enough to give people additional belief in the economy to bring investing in, if there was a program to bring it down? Because now they say the interest is more than the Defense Department.
It's $1 trillion, yeah. It's more than defense, more than education. I mean, you know, what could we do every year with an extra trill, right? Trillion bucks. You can do a few things with that. The key is spending, though. You can have a plan to pay it down, like most people listening say, okay, I'm going to pay $100 a month on my credit card. But if you spend $200 on your credit card, guess what? You're going deeper and deeper into the hole. And honestly, this is where you kind of come up with pox on both houses to a degree. You know, which it's tough. Listen, you may have to get to the idea of no career politicians. Get people in and out of there so that they're not trying to get a bridge to nowhere and be reelected over and over and over again.
So politicians are the problem. So Unbreakable Investors available now. For our listeners, they can go 505-505.
Right. 505-505.
Yeah, 505-505. And they can get a free copy because they're listening. And you can put in my name.
Brian, 505-505. Or they can go to unbreakableinvestor.com. Free copy of the book. They do have to pay postage and handling.
$7.
Right.
So what?
But it's a companion book to the Unstoppable Prosperity that I did a couple of years ago. That did like 400,000 copies. And here's the thing. This book, I begin it by talking about why you want to do this for your family.
Got it. You're looking for your future. Get security. Start being as happy as Charles Payne is wherever he goes. He knows his money's working for him, so he doesn't have to. But he chooses to work anyway. Charles, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, pick it up. Unbreakable Investor. Brian Kilmeade. Keep it here.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.